Good morning, Santa Fe. It's 11:06 a.m. here on Friday, the 11th of December. I'm Julia Goldberg, and thanks for tuning in. We're going to kick off our show this morning with Dr. Andrew Lustig. Dr. Lustig is the founder of Global Outreach Docs. Global Outreach Doctors, and in mid-November went to a small island off of Greece to support and treat Syrian refugees there. Andrew, thanks so much for joining us again.
Thank you, Julia.
And so now, what island did you go to off Greece?
So our team deployed to Levos. It's a small island. Actually, it's much closer to Turkey. It's only a few miles from Turkey. It's pretty far from Greece, but an entry point for many refugees.
Yes, there's been a lot of coverage from there on the national news for the last year as people have been arriving there. Now, you've gone to so many different places to provide humanitarian aid, but I know, for example, in a case like Nepal, you're going there after a natural disaster. There's a lot of outpouring of people wanting to support. How about in a case like this where, unfortunately, in my opinion, the Syrian refugees are sort of in a political disaster, and it's not unilaterally, they're not having this kind of unilateral support we see. Did you find that at all when you were preparing this mission?
We did, and actually during our time there, and then in just the last week or so, there have been so many changes, and it is a very political situation. The most recent events in the last week or so or two include Turkey receiving $4 billion to stop the flow of refugees to Europe and up through the Balkans, and that sort of changed things pretty much the same day they received the money.
How so?
We had been in Levos for about a week or so, maybe a week and a half, where we're actually getting ready to return. And this agreement was signed with Turkey by the EU. And on the same day that that agreement was signed, Turkey rounded up 1,300 refugees. Those are refugees that were getting ready to get in these small rafts and make their way to the island that we were working on, Lesbos. And they rounded these 1,300 folks, refugees. By the way, they're from Afghanistan, Iraq, Pakistan, Syria, and put them in some containment area. And that means that there were less refugees coming to the island, though the island still does see, at the time we were there, 6,000 refugees a day.
Can you walk us through a little bit what it's like kind of preparing for a trip like this? Because it sounds bureaucratically challenging to even make something like this happen.
Right. This is a little different than showing up at earthquakes and typhoons and other places that we've worked. There are a lot of politics. We were working with the United Nations High Commissioner for Refugees, UNHCR, the mayor's office in Lesbos, and a few other organizations. And, you know, the first thing you really got to do is be aware of where you're going, what the politics are, sort of who's in charge, and then sort of just look broadly at understanding sort of what's happening so that you don't show up in some place and not know that you'll be seeing, for instance, Iraqi refugees. That requires a different interpreter. For instance, we had two Arabic interpreters and one Farsi interpreter, Farsi for all the non-Syrians, Arabic for the Syrians. And so the preparation, you know, we were going to be working in water, so we needed wetsuits, a little different than working in an earthquake where you need, you know, combat boots and whatever. We needed to be aware of sort of the environment and the conditions of who else was there. And sort of be familiar culturally with the people. So, for instance, one of our doctors from London is Syrian, and so he culturally understood sort of what we would be facing. And our Farsi interpreter was also from a region that she was familiar with what was going on. So,
wow. And how does it work in terms of deciding that you're needed there? Do you have a network of people saying, oh, there's medical needs in a place, or are you just following the news and thinking surely there's needs there? How does that come about?
You know, Global Outreach Doctors is a small organization. We don't have sort of layers of people putting dots on the map and deciding, you know, where we should deploy and then putting, you know, large financial resources to work. we sort of rely on our network of people around the world, doctors and nurses and people in politics and people with the WHO or the Foreign Medical Teams group. And we receive some contacts, some information from some doctors on the ground saying, hey, this is what the situation is. Are you guys going to come here? We could use you. And in our particular case, we brought not only medical doctors, but folks that were going to help with mental health and emotional crisis, which is such a big part of any disaster, and particularly for a disaster that's been going on for so many years. And these people are fleeing, you know, horrendous conditions. So we brought with us trauma acupuncturists that are trained in PTSD and emotional shock treatment. And there weren't a lot of people doing that. And so the folks on the ground that we were talking to said, it's great, bring your medical doctors, but definitely bring sort of emotional, mental health support. And that turned out to really be needed.
Can you describe a little bit what you encountered when you got there? I mean, is it a very obvious disaster scene? Just from the coverage I've seen, you sort of have the sense of life is still going on these islands where refugees are coming, but also at the same time there's this crisis.
Yes, so this is probably one of the first times that we've worked on an island that had lots of great services. This is an island that has been visited by many tourists, and so you're talking about places that have electricity and running water and internet and cell service and all of that. And I remember when we were getting a location for us to stage out of, and the individual donated this house for our team, and they said, I want to let you know there's only two bathrooms. And I said, well, that's two more bathrooms than we usually have. So that's, you know, great. So in terms of the environment, pretty easy to navigate. Now, I will say that, you know, we had a 9-passenger van. We're moving people to different work sites, and the roads are very dangerous, and they're, you know, on cliffs and all of that. But, you know, we had lots of services. Now, when you arrive at a place like this, you're talking about a quaint little island that's completely overrun now with arriving refugees, 5,000, 10,000 a day, depending on which month you looked at. So this is a small island that's not accustomed to sort of handling that level of influx. That's the first influx. The second influx of people are all of us NGOs, thousands of people helping the other thousands of people arriving. Mm. And so most of the island would be normally closed during this time in winter because this is not a typical tourist time, but actually everything's open now.
Mm. If you're just tuning in, I'm here in the studio with Dr. Andrew Lustig of Global Outreach Docs. Dr. Lustig is a naturopathic doctor, and he also works in the ER at Christus St. Vincent Regional Medical Center. And for the last decade, he's worked in disaster and poverty conditions all over the world, including Haiti, Africa, Nepal, Nicaragua, and more, and is recently back from working with Syrian and other refugees. On Levos. We're going to take a quick break, and when we return, we will hear more about it. So please stick around. It's 11:15 a.m. I'm Julia Goldberg. You're listening to KVSF 101.5, The Voice of Santa Fe.
You're listening to The Julia Goldberg Show, local talk about Santa Fe politics and whatever's on Julia's mind. On the new KVSF 101.5, The Voice of Santa Fe, streaming on santafe.com.
Welcome back, Santa Fe. It's 11:20 a.m. You're on Friday, the 11th of December. I'm Julia Goldberg, and I'm in the studio this morning with Dr. Andrew Lustig of Global Outreach Docs, discussing his recent deployment with Global Outreach Docs to a small island called Levos, where he and his team treated Syrian and other refugees. How many people went, Andrew, on this trip?
You know, we brought a small group to begin with to sort of assess the situation. We had lots of information from medical folks on the ground. So we had about 9 folks. We had a doc from London and a doc from New York City, medical doctors. We had several acupuncturists that specialize in PTSD and trauma for emotional support. We had several interpreters, Farsi and Arabic. And we are looking at a second deployment, but perhaps further north on the border of Macedonia.
And when you're there, the work you're doing, it's not, you're not, you're in the field, right? Actually helping people. They're not, you're not in a sort of area. You're going out to where they are. Or?
Right. This is a small island that's, you can drive across in about an hour and a half. So we're working the beaches to kind of draw a picture for you where some of us are in wetsuits, literally triaging folks as they come off the boat to sort of decide, you know, who goes on the beach and who gets rushed in a car to, or a jeep to our medical facilities. And, you know, you have a lot of hypothermia. We're removing babies and elderly from the boat so that they don't get wet even more than they already are from this journey. You're dealing with people that are screaming and crying and sort of happy and sad and all these emotions because they've arrived at a place that is not going to persecute them. These are people that the stories that we have heard, you know, the scenes we have seen with people with bullet wounds in their abdomen. Now, they've been traveling for on foot mostly for 30 to 60 days. They're coming far from Syria and Afghanistan. So their wounds have, you know, either been treated or somewhat they're not acute for the most part. Of course, the acute issues do revolve around drowning, capsized boats, you know, people and babies washing ashore, and you're sort of not in a position to do much after that.
Were you seeing a lot of that? Because there's certainly been some high-profile cases of that in the news.
There have. You know, I was several months ago, I was in Washington and doing a talk, and of course,